105.3 is WKHM FM and WKHM FM HD1 Brooklyn Jackson. It's time for the Football Frenzy Game of the Week. This week's contest, the Cardinals of Manchester visit the Western Panthers. Tonight's game is being brought to you by Brooklyn Plumbing, Heating, and AC, Collins Brothers Floor Covering, County National Bank, Columbia School District, Clothing Carousel, Summit Orthodontics, Jackson YMCA, Jackson Public Schools, Northwest Community Schools, Excel Staffing, Able Heating and Cooling, The Hunt Club, Stone's One-Stop Auto Shop, Hills Heart of the Lakes Golf Course, Your Premier Properties, Meckley's Flavor Fruit Farms, Brembo, Andy's Pizza, The Restore, Double Chiropractic, Trips Auto Shop, Trips Ceramic Pro, East Jackson Community Schools, Minuteman Sewer and Drain, Kevin Lamar, Charles Schwab, Penn Chiropractic, Tri-County Water, and Modern Waste. Now let's go to the press box for the call of tonight's game. Here's Captain Steve Boyle and Brian Haynes.
Steve Boyle, Brian Haynes on the pregame here. Coldwater in town to take on the Parma Western Panthers tonight. Interstate 8 duel, and we got a good one here. Both teams 5-1 coming into the game, Brian. This should be a battle. Looking like we're trying to find advantages for each team, and it just seems like Coldwater's going to be able to run the football. That's going to be their game plan. Of course, Western has that very good passing attack. They can run the football too, but they can gash you really quick for a big game through the air. So it's kind of the air game versus the ground game tonight.
Yeah, you know, we were talking before we came on air and kind of comparing them to common opponents. They both lost to Lumen Christi by a similar score. So, yeah, Steve, I think this is going to be a good one. We're kind of on a roll with good ones, so yeah. I expect nothing less.
Knock on a little wood up here if we can find some room to knock here in the crowded Western broadcast booth here tonight with Coldwater Radio in town and our other media cohorts. But you know what? It's a big game. It's a good game, and you wouldn't expect anything else. Just ready to come and watch some good football in the Interstate 8. Both teams only one loss on the season, and both of them losing to a very good, I think something like 29 games, wins in a row, Lumen Christi team. So no shame in their game for losing that one, but matter of fact, that was one of the things we were comparing common opponents and common losses. Western lost to Lumen Christi 22-7 a few weeks ago, and Coldwater lost to Lumen Christi 38-21. So Coldwater managed more points against them, but they gave up more as well. So if there's a defensive deficiency there, that's going to be an advantage I'd see for Western. You know, if they can exploit a defensive weakness. However, I don't know if that translates necessarily. Lumen Christi, a powerful running team and a good offense. So I think we can throw that out the window and just kind of go, we're going to have to determine this on the field tonight. Who's the better team? We're not going to know ahead of time.
Yep. Well, I watched about 23 hours of film this week on Coldwater because I hadn't really got to see them in person.
Sure.
And, you know, looking at the weather, we're calling for some rain. I thought, okay, well, maybe Coldwater's going to have a little advantage that they count pretty much strictly just on running. I mean, you kind of have some of the numbers for us in their passing game, which were pretty interesting.
But interesting, if not exciting, particularly. What did we see? We had the passing game. It was 26 total passing attempts out of 6 weeks in the season. So they don't throw it a lot, and they've only completed 9 of them. However, we were seeing when someone does catch it, it's exciting. They have 3 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. So about a third of the time, something exciting is happening when they go to the air. Let's go ahead and take, as the Western Panthers come out of the locker room, 2 applause from this hometown crowd. Let's take a 3-minute break on the pregame, and we'll get ready for the kickoff on the K105.3 Football Frenzy. The Western Panthers hosting the Coldwater Cardinals.
Now, back to high school football on Jackson's Hit Music, K105.3.
Steve Boyle, Brian Haynes in the press box here at Western High School. Shout out to the band as the teams take to the field in Coldwater. We'll receive the kick here first as we get the first quarter started. Brought to you by Minuteman Sewer and Drain Cleaning. They open drains, others can't. And we're glad to have them on board for the K105.3 Football Frenzy. One more chance next. Well, we do. I think we have a couple more when we do the crossover games. But you get a next chance to get signed up for the pregame tailgate and a chance to win $1,053. Come visit us out of Hanover Horton High School next week. But this one's about to be underway. The kick is up. And a nice kick going left side. It's going to bounce and skid out of bounds. So the flag will come out of the official's belt. And we'll begin with an illegal procedure penalty against the Panthers. But really, sometimes I think you don't mind that because it avoids a big return.
Yeah, and I see Matt Gipple, who we're going to be talking a lot about tonight, back there returning it. And maybe, who knows, maybe Western just thought, you know what, let's go ahead and stick him on the 35 and we'll just go from there.
Gipple carried it 27 times a week ago in a close win over Marshall, 21-20. The difference being missed extra points for Marshall and made extra point on the final score for Coldwater to be the difference, the margin of victory there, 1 point. 12 minutes on the clock. Big setup here for the Coldwater Cardinals. And the handoff on first down is stuffed up right at the line of scrimmage. Great job by the Panther defense. And on the carry, looks like it's Damon Beckhusen.
Yeah, you know, Damon's Gipple's partner there, partner in crime. Together, they are averaging 280 yards on the ground, which, as you know, Steve, most teams don't average even right. close to that much, and that's two guys. So,
second and 10 for Coldwater here from the 36-yard line after 1 yard on the first down. The wings in motion. QB is going to keep it. Janice and the Western Panther defense right there to stuff him at the line again. Janice keeping it and stuffed. So two plays and Western able to keep the Coldwater running game in check. And I had speculated before the game we were talking, Brian, and I said, you know, if Western can get them into some long third down situations, as we mentioned, they don't like to throw a lot. Coldwater, but if you can get him into those situations, he's thrown four picks this year, and we know that the Panthers can intercept.
Yeah, that's for sure. You know, I'm guessing Coldwater, even on these third and longs, are still going to run the ball sometimes. But
and not the case here. Play action, back to throw as Janice tipped at the line and incomplete, and the Panthers look like they'll hold that Coldwater offense to a three and out. Incomplete on third down, and a nice defensive stand to get things started for Western. 10:35 to go in the first quarter for Minuteman Sewer and Drain Cleaning, and the punt unit looks to come onto the field here for the Cardinals.
Yeah, last time we did a game, we saw Julius Adams, punt returner, make a couple electrifying runs. We'll see how he does here on this first fielding of a punt.
And they're lined up. Odd punt formation here for Coldwater. They get it away, and it bounces off the Coldwater player's helmet. And that's going to go all the way back. So what would have been fielded at about the 30-yard line bounces back and will actually be downed at about the 15. There is a flag out, and that's going to be not allowing the player to catch the football.
Yeah, I think that's going to be an illegal touch there by Coldwater, and they'll give Western the ball closer to the 40 than that 15 in which we see it. So
the player right up in the Western punt returner's face and bounced right off the back of his helmet but popped ahead for give him another extra 15 yards at the end of the punt. Be sweet if you could do that.
It looked pretty cool.
It did look cool. So they'll move it up to the 31-yard line here. So first and 10 for Western as they're huddled up on the sideline. Coach Mifsud and the rest of the staff, Rich Hall, Ben Pack, Tyler Ridgeway, Mark Reskowski, Eric Giannunzio, Jared Hall, and Logan Kelly working for the Panthers on the sideline. And a very different look. The big formations we kept seeing from Coldwater spread out here for the Panthers. And Tyler Pape in a shotgun formation. Landon Reskowski back there with him. And he'll take the hand up on first down, trying to get to the edge and turn it upfield, and he does. Bounces off a couple tacklers, staying on his feet. What could have been stopped for just a couple yards turns into about 6 yards on the carry for Reskowski.
Yeah, we had Dylan Target just hanging on for dear life. Reskowski's legs just churning, but Dylan did a good job of hanging on and keeping him to 6 or 7.
Looked like a pinball out there. 9:51 to go first quarter. We're scoreless. Western with the football. Second down and call it 3 yards. Pape out of the shotgun. still at the Western 37-yard line. Back to throw on first down, or second down, excuse me. Pape downfield, he's got a man. And that was James Bloomfield able to get a step over there. I almost called him Landon French again for anybody who was tuned into that Northwest game. Incomplete, though. One-on-one coverage. Good job by Pape to recognize that. But I think maybe a double move downfield by Bloomfield that Pape didn't think he needed, so he let him a little bit long. We saw in that Northwest game with Western that Pape had some pinpoint accuracy on some of those deep balls, and it just wasn't there on that one. Brings up a third down at about 3 yards for the Panthers. The Coldwater defense looking to return the favor of a three and out to Western. Pape out of the shotgun. Three wide receivers, and it's a bad snap, and Pape's going to dive on it at the 25. Now, that's probably the smart play. He had plenty of room to pick that up and try to make a play with it, but Western will dive on it, and they'll have to punt it away. 9:22 to go first quarter for Minuteman Sewer and Drain Cleaning, and both teams with one possession and nothing to show for it.
Yeah, that's one of those plays where when you're Pape, you can't see behind you, so you're not sure who's bearing it on you. We could see that he could have maybe picked that up and made a play, but he didn't know, so he just had to fall on it.
It's the wise play. You don't want to turn it over down there deep in your own field, and there's a pretty good punt away. It's going to bounce at about the 42, but then it just kind of dies. And so it does get back into Coldwater territory, but a little bit better field position this time for the Cardinals as they take over on their own 43-yard line with 8:55 to go first quarter here at K105.3. The Football Frenzy, thanks to all of our sponsors, on board again for a great game tonight. XL Staffing, Minuteman Sewer and Drain Cleaning, as we mentioned, our first quarter sponsor, Tri-County Water, and I want to say Hills Heart of the Lakes Golf Course on board for the high school football. I'm playing a scramble there on Sunday. I'm excited to get out and play a little golf. I haven't been out to Hills Heart of the Lakes in a minute, and all I ever hear about is what great shape the course is in. Coldwater on the field. Looked like a little movement before the play, no flag, and the handoff goes to the wing player, which is Matt Kipple, and he takes the carry to the 46-yard line, gain of about 3 yards on the play.
Yeah, that three-yard gain is actually 7 yards less than Matt Kipple's average, who's averaging over 10 yards a carry.
Western so far able to corral these solid running backs for Coldwater. They come in with that big formation. Gives to Gipple again. This time he breaks through the line, and he's going to get another 4 yards or so into Western territory across the 50 to the 49. Third down and about 4 yards now for the Cardinals.
Yeah, and that's going to be important for Coldwater here tonight to stay in manageable down and distances. You know, as you said, the first series, Coldwater can't afford to be in third and eights and third and nines. They need to be in the third and threes and third and fours.
And this, with a 10.2 yard per carry average, this is well within Gipple's reach. Ball right on the 50. And this time they give it kind of on a jet sweep, and the running back on the play is actually the receiver takes it, and he's able to gash through, and he's going to carry it out to about the 40-yard line before he's stopped. That's going to move the chains and really slide the Cardinals forward.
Yeah, nice little run by Cameron Torres, who's a freshman. And that's something we haven't seen a lot this year, freshmen on the varsity football teams.
And even when we have it, they haven't necessarily contributed a ton. But here early in the game, they're getting it into Torres' hands and moving the chains. First and 10 on the Western 41-yard line. In motion is Gipple. He takes it, looking to get to the edge, turn it upfield. He does get it upfield. He's going to turn it into about a 4-yard gain on first down, and that'll make it second and about six. Not as good of a spot as I would expect. The second and 7, we'll call it, with 7:06 to go first quarter, 0-0 tie.
Yeah, this Coldwater style, for those listening, picture maybe a Navy versus Army kind of game. Just hand off. Old school Big Ten, maybe.
And with, as you were mentioning in the pregame, some good-sized offensive linemen out there for the Cardinals. Under center and a quick handoff by Janice, and it's going right up the middle, and he's going to take it to the house. It looks like, no, shoestring tackle, saving a touchdown. Damon Backhusen breaks for a big gain. He's going to get inside the 10-yard line and brought down just before he was about to prance into the end zone.
Yeah, as you said, he's getting ready to go in the end zone. I thought the same thing, but Mason Gillespie kind of came out of nowhere and a little shoestring tackle.
And they do actually, they spot it outside of the 10, put it on the 11-yard line. First and 10 there officially for Cardinals. 6:20 to go first quarter, and they're in the red zone. Big lineup comes out. Janice hands off, and that's going to go to Gipple. And he had a shot at the end zone there, going off tackle, danced his way down to the 1 yard line before he stopped. So still short of the goal line, and that may actually be a first down. It looks like, yeah, they're going to move the chains. No, the spot. Are they going to measure? He's holding up second down. So ball on the 2 second down and technically one to go, I guess.
Yeah. And, you know, throughout the evening, we're going to have to mention some cold water linemen's names, because I'm telling you, Western knows they're going to run. Everyone knows they're going to run, and there's still some big holes there early on.
Janice under center. Then he's going to keep it, looking to dive in. And good job by the Western defenders to fill those gaps and keep him. He goes nowhere. So that'll bring up a third down and short here for Coldwater. What a momentum boost it'd be for Western to hold them from out of the end zone here. They'll have to try two more times, though. Third down and close. Coldwater's in four-down territory, I would imagine, from this distance.
Yeah, that was linebacker Wyatt Heavy just coming down a run blitz and just stuffing him there.
5:01 to go, first quarter. Coldwater with a chance to give it to Gipple, and he's going to get stood up. He falls forward, though, and they do get into the end zone. It looked like the Panthers' defense was going to hold him up, but Gipple continuing to battle and gets into the end zone, and it's 6-0 Coldwater, and it's easy to see this is going to be a grueling game tonight if you're the Western Panther defense.
Hey, you better come laced up, ready to go for that just smash mouth if you're a Western defensive lineman or linebacker.
And the kick team now out for Coldwater. And it is Angel Sereno. And the hold is down, kick is up, and that looks like it's through from here. Officials agree, 7-0 Coldwater, 4:54 to go first quarter. 30-second break, we're back with the kickoff on K105.3.
We now return to high school football on K105.3.
See Boyle Brian Haynes, 4:54 to go first quarter for Minute Maid Sewer and Drain Cleaning, and Western trailing 7-0 at home against Coldwater. And the Cardinals will now kick it off. Western looking to return. You're pretty good. Well, how about this? We'll go with it. Ball teed up on the 40-yard line. Sereno will approach. There's the kick. It's a high one, end over end. It's not going to go deep, and they'll field it about the 31. And he is going to try and return. And he's got a little bit of running room. He'll take it over the 35 to about the 39 as he falls forward at the end of the play. So the Panthers will take over. And that is on the carry. The return, I should say, Bodie Brown.
Kind of a high little pooch kickoff. Not sure if that was done on purpose or just kind of a little got under it a little much.
I could see wanting to keep it out of the hands of those exciting Western Panther receivers, the people they send deep. Panthers take over. And kind of a wildcat formation here. They snap it right into the hands of James Bloomfield. No pape on the play. Bloomfield carries it up to the 40-yard line, gets about 3 on the first down carry, so they'll actually move it up to almost 41. Second down at about 7.5 for the Panthers. Clock running here under 4:24 in the first quarter for Minuteman Sewer and Drain Cleaning.
If you're a couple of those big bodies from Western defensive linemen, you want this drive to last a little bit, get you a rest.
And this time Pape's going to keep, and he'll carry it over the 45 to about the 46-yard line. Takes a lick at that point, but Tyler Pape with a nice QB keep, and the Western offense gets themselves into a third and about 3 yards.
Yeah, linebacker Kenny Kramer there for Coldwater. And I'm sure if you're Coldwater and you get to practice all the time against, you know, your running attack, you're used to anything that Western's going to show you.
Different look in blocking schemes here. They do spread it right out now with 4 wideouts for Pape on third down. giving him a hard count. Coldwater staying steady. Reskowski will switch sides in the backfield. And Pape's going to keep, follows Reskowski through the line and into first down territory and then some into Coldwater territory down to the 47-yard line is Pape. First and 10 for Western, their first down of the game.
Nice block there by Reskowski to spring Pape for that little 6-yard scamper.
That block was the difference on the play. Cleared the way and Pape got that momentum going. First and 10 for Western. First trip into Coldwater territory tonight. 3:06 to go first quarter, trailing 7-0. Shotgun for Pape. Reskowski joins him in the backfield, looking to throw on first down. Quick out, and it bounces off the hands of Landon French. Little high up by the shoulder pads, but he did get his hands up, just couldn't quite reel it in. Second down and 10 now for Western.
Yeah, pretty unusual. Landon French proving himself to be very sure-handed this year. I don't think I saw him drop a pass last week, of course, or last time we saw him. But, of course, anybody that caught it, you said, was Landon French. So I just assumed he never dropped.
Panthers come out of the huddle. 2:56 on the clock. In motion is French, and they give to Reskowski instead. And on second down, he gets a pretty good chunk there. 5 yards at least, depending on the spot, and it'll be third down at about 5 for the Panthers.
And kind of unlike Coldwater, you know, when you're Western's offense and it's 3rd and 5, 3rd and 4, somewhere in there, the whole playbook's open. You don't know if they're going to pass, they're going to run. They're very balanced, so... Mm-hmm. Keeps Coldwater's D off guard.
It's such a weird feeling when they throw on first down, though, and it's incomplete, and they set up that second and 10. It just feels like they're working with a lot less advantage than Coldwater, taking 2 to 3 yards on every play. Pape will keep it. Designed run. He's going to get to about the Coldwater 40-yard line before he's stopped, and that's going to bring up fourth down at about 3 yards.
I'm looking to see if any punt team's coming in, and it looks like Western's going to keep their offense out there.
Western offense staying on the field. I see an umbrella getting opened up ahead of us. I haven't seen that. It didn't look like rain to me, but I sometimes don't have the best vision on that.
Yeah. Might just be a fan protecting themselves from the sun. Probably not.
Minute 40 to go first quarter for Minuteman Sewer and Drain Clean. Tyler Pape calling the signals, takes the snap, rolling right, trying to pull down. Now he throws, and he had a man, and coming back to the pass. They'll rule it incomplete, but the Western faithful will not be happy about that. There was definitely holding from the Coldwater cover man, but maybe the pass was out of his reach regardless.
Yeah, although I tell you what, with that obvious of a hold, I don't think the referee's in position to say that he couldn't catch that because he held him for quite a long time. He might have been able to get there. So
one of the few times this season where I'd say, you know, it wasn't a call that could have gone either way. To me, that was clearly a pass interference penalty. But the Coldwater Cardinals will get the football back, regardless of my opinion, on their own 41-yard line. And they come out with the big set, Janis under center. And in motion is Giffel. He takes it around the end, turns it upfield, and he's going to get 2 yards on the first down carry. Get the clock started here, and we're almost out of time on the first quarter. 7-0 Coldwater with the football, and a minute 17 to go in our opening period. Second down at about 8 yards.
Yeah, boy, if Coldwater has many long possessions, this game might be the fastest one we do all year because they are definitely going to keep her on the ground.
I think interesting, too, after that Coldwater touchdown, this Western fan section that had gotten kind of loud, you know, excited early, has really gone quiet. The give to Torres on second down, and he doesn't find much room but a little. And as we mentioned, you know, you want to be, if you're Coldwater, you want to be in that 3rd and 4 or less, I think, throughout the game, and that's going to be right around 3rd and 5.
It's funny, I like to let the Western Panther fans listening know who's making tackles, but every run is just a group of Panthers.
How, whatever they might title that, a family of Panthers?
Well, we're going to...
I think that may be the only, in the wild, I think a family of Panthers would be the only ones you'd find in a group, a mother and her cubs. Third down. They give to Giffel. He goes around the end. Had a chance to stop him for a loss, but tried to tackle him up around the shoulder pads, and that's not usually going to be a winning tackle prospect when you're going against a running back with the talent that Giffel's got. They do stop him shy of the first down marker, and if the clock runs out in our first quarter, it'll be fourth and two when we come back. 7-0 Coldwater leads. 1 minute break on K105.3.
To the game of the week. It's high school football on K105.3.
So fourth down, Coldwater comes out with a punt unit, sends it downfield, and it's going to go. They've got it spotted on the 12-yard line. We did have a flag come out on the play. So trying to see exactly what the call was. And it looks like that's going to be a block in the back against the Panthers. So moving back even a little more. And that's a penalty you need to avoid if you're Western trailing 7-0. Good job by the defense to step back up and get the stop. And you got to find out a way to put some points on the board. And right now, Tyler Papas looked off.
Yeah, and I don't know if, you know, it is a little damp out there. Balls can be wet. Or is it just Coldwater's D playing stoutly?
And now the rain is starting to come down pretty steady. We kind of expected this. We're just hoping we don't get much more severe weather than just rainfall tonight. Western, we were talking in the pregame, has not finished a game at home in one place in one night yet this season. Pape takes a snap on his 1 yard line on a slant route. Caught right up the middle of the field. Dodges the tackler. It's a foot race. 50, 40, 30. He's at the 20. Nobody's going to touch him. 10. Touchdown, Panthers. First and 10 from the 6 yard line. They go 94 yards to the house. Ladies and gentlemen, a quick slant, and he's off to the races. Mason Gillespie for 6, and Western's on the board.
And Steve, I think Tyler Pape heard you say he was a little off, and he said, Captain Steve, take that. As Gillespie on a little slant pattern just hit him perfectly because it was decent coverage.
The coverage was very tight, yeah.
Yeah, but right through the coverage. And
in the breadbasket, and Mason Gillespie did the rest with his legs. 11:35 to go first half, and 7-6 our score. And if this extra point is good, we'll tie it up here at Western High School. Snap is there, hold is down, kick is up, and it looks good from here. The officials say it is. We're tied at 7, 30-second break. We got a kickoff coming back on K105.3.
It's Jackson's only live coverage of high school football right here on K105.3.
Brian Haynes, Mason Gillespie taking it 94 yards to the house on the play there on the pass by Tyler Pape. And we're tied at 7 here in the second quarter. Thanks to Minuteman Sewer and Drain Cleaning, our first quarter sponsor. They open drains, others can't. Kickoff coming here for the Panthers. Clay Faldy place kicker. And back to return is Gippel for Coldwater. He's the deep man. I don't know if it gets to him. Good plant. Actually, a good kick. It's going to get plenty deep for him. Fielded at the 5, but not by Gippel. That is Spencer Rodesiler. And he's going to take it up to about the 25. Good job by the Western kick coverage. First and 10 for Coldwater.
Yeah, great job on the kick coverage. Stay in their lanes and make that tackle. And on that last break, the crack research staff has told me that could be a tackle made by a claw of Panthers. A claw of Panthers is
claw
the correct term for a group of Panthers.
Nice.
You get more than just football, Steve, when you're
Brian,
listening.
I know the research like that the time you put into this broadcast is not nearly worth what we pay. Or is worth more. I don't. Good job. That's what I meant to say. 11 and a half to go here in the half. And a handoff on first down. Surprise, surprise. Coldwater running. And the Western defense not surprised at all. They'll pull him down for no gain. Second down and 10.
It's interesting. Now you look out there, and there are 9 Western bodies right around stacking the box. And again, you can't blame them. You got to make Coldwater throw it.
And they, it's not as though you have to guard a bunch of guys. I mean, they have man-to-man coverage on the outside guy, and everybody else's job is the running back. This time, Janice will keep it. Looks like he's going to get a couple yards diving through the line. He'll get it close to the 30-yard line, which is going to give him about 7 yards on third down. Make it 6.
For the Western tacklers, it's almost like kick coverage in the fact that they just have responsibilities, I think, against Coldwater. You know, you don't want to go for their fakes. You just have lanes that you got to fill and do your job, and Western doing a nice job on this series so far.
It's going to be important to make sure when you do get a hand on him, or you do get when that, you got to make that tackle, though, because if they break a tackle when you got everybody stacked on the line, it doesn't take long to break a big play. On third down, they give it to the up back, and he's going to dive into the line, but there's not a lot of room, so make it fourth down at about 3. And in this situation, on the last time they sent the punt unit out, it looks like they're doing that again. So on third and short, Coldwater is ready to send it away. Damon Beckhusen coming up a little limpy after the carry, still hasn't made it to the sideline. Moving on his own power, but slowly. So we'll have to keep an eye on that. That's something I would imagine is probably an ankle, a little turned ankle, but obviously there's many different levels of ankle injury. Back to punt, and it's a low snap. He does get it up and gets the kick away. Actually, a pretty good kick. Spiral fielded at the 35, and he's going to run it back. Got some room up the side, and he's not going to go far. Good tackling by the Cardinal punt coverage team, but McCary is going to go out to about the 38-yard line. Pretty good field position for Western on the return by Julius Adams.
Yeah, well, Spencer Rhodes-Sigler, Coldwater punter, did a great job there. Kind of bobbled the snap a little bit. Western Panthers bearing in on him, and he still got a pretty good boot away.
Yeah, really did get the leg into it and flop that field around. Make the Panthers have to work a lot of field. Doesn't seem to be daunting to them. Trip receivers right for Pape on this one. Raskowski is the deep back. A little bit high on the snap, and he does get the handoff away, but good job by the Coldwater D-line to get some penetration. They're going to stop him for a loss on the play. Second down and about 12.
Yeah, Coldwater linebacker Bo Branham was not fooled at all. He was in there just as the ball was getting handed off, and nice tackle.
The exchange was not ideal, but I think he doesn't get much out of that play at all. Either way, Coldwater, really great job on the penetration defensively. Western Front's going to have to win that battle. Second and pretty good spot. Second and 11. Pape in the backfield looking to throw on second and long. He's got one-on-one coverage. Throws up the jump ball. It bobbles through the defender's hands and the receiver's hands and falls incomplete. And Gipple on the coverage. Intended receiver on the play. Cole Sharp.
Yep, ball just a tad underthrown to Sharp.
Yeah, Sharp had a step on the left sideline, but as you mentioned, a little underthrown. And now I'll say it again, maybe it's an announcer jinx, but Pape just hasn't been quite as precise as we've seen him throwing the football in other performances. He's out of there now, Wildcat formation on third down and long, and he's going to keep it, and I believe when they do that, it is Landon French. Nope, that's going to be James Bloomfield. So they'll stop him for a short gain. Fourth down and 7, and the punt unit will come out for Western as that rain continues to steadily pummel the football field. 8-11 to go first half, 7-7 tie.
You wonder if the rain made them go in Wildcat formation.
And there's a good kick by French on the punt. Bounces at 25, rolls past the 20. They'll leave it alone. The Western roll gets inside the 10-yard line. And a nice job by French and the punt team for the Panthers. And the defense will make their way out onto the field with 7:52 to go. Well, it's been back and forth defensive battle, save for one drive each for both teams. Coldwater, that one drive looks like an anomaly, that otherwise they failed to really move the chains at all.
Yeah, and Western, I don't know if we can even call that one drive other than just one big play.
Yeah.
Other than that, Coldwater's D's right up to task too. And if this rain stays steady, this might be what we see for a while as a 7-7 score.
Weather a factor. The cheerleaders have even put on their raincoats here on it's a Hall of Fame night here at Western. The good thing they prepared with a tent for the Hall of Fame crew, VIP style. On first down, it looks like they're going to, is it Torres on the carry? No gain, second down and long. Oh, nope. Let's say it was Gipple taking the handoff.
And hopefully I'm not being too hard on the cheerleaders, but, you know, you're out there. You got to play in the rain as well. Can you just put ponchos on and expect to be a top-notch cheerleading squad? You got to brave the elements, ladies.
There is one cheerleader holding strong with just her T-shirt on. Kudos to her. I don't know her name. We'll announce all the cheerleaders a little later on. Second down, and again, the Western defensive line keeps that Coldwater run game in check. Third down, and make it about 7 yards. And if you're Western, you got to be really pleased when you get into this third and long situation. Big personnel change over here, so maybe it's a passing attempt here for Coldwater. There have been, 26 on the season? Make it number 28?
Yeah.
We're 0 for 1 today.
Jackson Janis would be looking for his 10th completion on the season.
Get into the double-digit range. They go with the big set. Janis does hand off the deep back, and there's a nice run and a good hole. They are going to stop him, but I think he got the first down distance. And that was Torres on the carry.
Yeah, I told you in the hours of film I've been watching, even on those third and longs, Coldwater's not afraid to just hand the ball off still.
First and 10 on the Western 20-yard line. 6:17 to go first half. We're tied at 7 as the rain coming down steadily here for the last quarter or so. And there's a handoff on first down. And look at the Panther defense. A claw of Panthers clawing at the running back and bringing him down to the turf. It's Gipple on the carry. He goes nowhere on first down.
Solid use of the word claw twice.
That's what you would call a homonym. Homophone? Whatever. You're not an English teacher. I know that.
I'll go with that. You said it with conviction.
I did, and maybe the audience, I'm sure, I mean, there's an English major or two listening. 5.5 to go in the first quarter, or first half, excuse me. And on the end around, kind of a jet sweep play there, and they do run it and on second down. Torres right now has been their most effective runner in the game. He's going to get about 3 yards, make it 4, third down and 5.
And big play here for Coldwater so they can get it to fourth and manageable, and I think we probably see their offense stay on the field, although deep in Western territory, we'll see.
Time taken away on the clock. We're under 5 minutes to go in the half, and they come out one split wide is David Beck using, it looks like. Gipple goes in motion. Janis will keep it. He drags the defender close to the marker. And we signal first down. The chain gang will move position. Ball control offense, the name of the game right now for Coldwater.
That quarterback keep is kind of a different look compared to what we're used to seeing. I mean, he takes a couple steps to his right like he might hand it off to the jet sweeper and then just plants that foot and goes back left. Kind of interesting.
He's under center now again. In motion is Gipple. The handoff is to him, and that defense grabs him immediately. I think he lost a yard on that one. Second down and 11 for Coldwater. The ball spotted right now at the 30-yard line in Coldwater territory with 4:18 ticking away on our second quarter clock.
And I'm going to give credit to Cal Sharp for that tackle because that time he was kind of by himself. We didn't see the claw of Panthers.
Yeah, he snuck through the line, staying in his gap, as we've been mentioning. It just seems like they're just assigned a lane, they've got their stun or whatever they're doing there, and they're just sticking with it. And that time, he was able to get through unblocked and get a good tackle on Gipple. Second and long, and the give goes to Torres again, and there he goes, turning on the Jets, and he's going to turn it into a six-yard gain and set up another third and five situation for Coldwater, maybe make it six with 3.5 to go here in our first half of action, tied at seven tonight here at Western High School. Coldwater Cardinals, both teams 5-1 on the season. Stay tuned at halftime.
Kind of interesting so far. Freshman Torres has gotten a good bulk of the carries, and for the season, he's about a third of what those other two studs are getting.
And back to throw is Janice, and incomplete. We thought we had completion number 10 in and out of the big tight end's hands. And geez, he is a big kid out there. Dylan Taggart, 6'3", 250, he's listed. We got a Tri-County Water out-of-town scoreboard update. Jackson High, 22-6 lead right now over Tecumseh, cruising in their home contest. Jackson High Vikings, Tri-County Water out-of-town scoreboard. Delicious Tri-County Water. Another punt for Coldwater on fourth down. Bobble the snap, still able to get it up and kick it away. And it's going to go out of the bounds at the sideline near the 33-yard line. Make it the 34. First and 10 Western with under 3 minutes to go, but that they've proven they only need about 10 seconds to score.
That was one I wish our listeners could see, which I know they can't, but yeah, the punter just flat out dropped the snap. A couple Western guys were there, but almost just assumed that he was already going to get it off and just kind of stood up, and nobody went for it, and punter got to punt it away.
And they'll slide it up at the 35-yard line. Nope, now he'll move back. And he must be, I think he's got a listening device in to hear the broadcast down there, the official. Under 3 minutes, Tyler Pape, four wideouts, three of them split to his right, and he's back to throw on first down. A lot of time, looking deep, he's got one-on-one coverage, short again, Landon French makes the adjustment, gets back to catch it, and a flag comes out at the end of the play. And I got to be honest, that could go against, I wouldn't be surprised if that went against either team, to be honest, Brian. But they do move the football up as though that's going to go against Coldwater.
Yeah, it's funny. At all levels of football, if you just underthrow a pass and the receiver comes back at all, it's almost an automatic pass interference.
Yeah. So it does go against Coldwater. And they'll move that up 15 yards. Put aside about midfield. Now the pass interference penalty. And again, Pape underthrew it a little bit there. I got to imagine it's a little bit to do with his grip on the football. It's been raining steadily here for quite a while. And just if your grip's not real solid, you would lose a little bit of distance on it, making sure that your hand doesn't slide off.
We might see a little more Raskowski here these last couple minutes.
2:51 to go. The give is to Landon Raskowski off the left side, trying to turn it up the corner. And he does get kind of chased out of bounds. Doesn't go off his feet. He's going to get about 8 yards on the carry. Depending on the spot, opposite sideline, I couldn't really see. They'll give him six.
Yeah, anybody that's playing on the defensive line for Western right now would be very happy if Western would just use these last 2:45 with a little drive and they don't have to go back and tackle Gipple.
Snap to Pape, gives to Raskowski again. He's got the first down distance and then a little more. Gets inside the 40-yard line to the 39, and Western has a little something working here. Clock will continue to run once they spot the football, but 2:40 to go in the half. Stay tuned to halftime. Collins Brothers Floor covering halftime report. We'll get the MHSAA's This Week in High School Sports segment. Look at any scores we can locate for you and set things up for the second half. Shotgun formation for Pate. Gives to Raskowski again. Just going off tackle right. Now he gets to the second level. Jukes out a defender. He's got a shot at the end zone. He gets past one. He's to the corner. Touchdown, Landon Raskowski. He had one. There was one guy who had a chance to tackle him, and Raskowski just wiggled past. But we do have a flag back at the 40-yard line. That'd be where I'd expect it to be a hold.
Yep.
Except for the big play, a holding penalty is going to bring it back for Western. Doesn't alleviate the fact that that was some fancy footwork by Raskowski. And he's starting to get some momentum in his run game. So you give it back to him on this play if you're me. 2:18 to go. Let Raskowski keep that momentum going.
Yeah, well, I said you might see a little more Raskowski, and that's three in a row. But if you're Western, that's also setting them up for a little play action. Let Pape let that arm loose.
2:18 to go as the rain continues to pour down here at Western High School. Shotgun for Pape. Three receivers split right. Raskowski in the backfield. They give to him again. This time almost identical to the last play. Breaks a tackle. And he's going to get back to that original first down marker. So on the 20 yards needed, they get 10 of it back on first down with Landon Raskowski running beast mode.
Yeah, Christian Browse from Coldwater, the only one there to tackle Raskowski. And Christian must be a tough kid because Raskowski can run, and he took him down by himself. So good job by Christian.
Now they send three receivers to the left for Pape. And they give to Raskowski anyway. He cuts it upfield. Not much room there. He's going to get inside the 40 again to about the 38. And you can start to see, Brian, with the rain coming down and the turf is starting to show a little bit of brown, looking a little muddy. These uniforms will certainly need to be laundered following this contest. Shout out to all the parents whose job it may be to wash this laundry. They need to pick up something new and clean or pre-owned. Clothing Carousel, one of our sponsors on the game tonight. Fresh clothes. Pape going to keep it himself. He was running kind of an option play, and he had room to run, and then he got to about the 35-yard line and was clobbered by a flock of Cardinals. But Pape got up, the defender, a little slow to get to his feet on the play. Number 44 for Coldwater, Bo Branham.
And here comes Western kind of in a little hurry up here.
No huddle here for the Panthers with 36 seconds to go, tied at 7. And it's going to be a fourth down, and Pape's going to keep. No, he's going to throw. Gets it away, and he's got to run up the sideline. We got a touchdown on fourth down. Flags coming in late in the play, and I can't imagine what that is other than a block in the back or something. And totally unnecessary for Western because the player was on his own and into the end zone. James Bloomfield will score, but we're going to likely bring this back.
Yeah, I think they're going to call kind of offensive pass interference with kind of an illegal pick play there. I know the Coldwater defender was hands in the air like, hey, this isn't legal. And the officials agreed with him.
25.4 on the clock there, making sure they get the call right. A little huddle here from the officials on the field. And let's see what we get for a signal. And that's kind of the block in the back signal going against the Panthers. A couple penalties on this play.
Yeah, and two touchdowns taken back.
Yeah.
The Western fans not happy about it either. Wondering if the officials are from Coldwater, I heard someone yell.
More than unhappy. I would say I'd go further than that. Verging on angry. And so a 25.4, it's looking more and more likely that we'll end up in the locker room at the half with a 7-7 tie, though. Western, don't discount their big play ability. They just need to make one of those big plays without some laundry ending up on the field. Bright yellow laundry, to be specific. So on fourth down now and about 20 yards, we'll get a punt from Western. And that'll go toward the sideline, bounces at the 30, goes out at about the 22.
Yeah, smart punt there to angle it away, not give them any chance for a big return here.
You can avoid a giant run play here for a moment if you're Western. You get into the locker room with a 7-7 tie. 18.9 to go here first half on the K105.3 Football Frenzy. $1,053 on the line with our pregame tailgates. Scott Clow out there today handing out those Western Panther t-shirts courtesy of Summit Orthodontics and Dr. B and the crew.
Even in the rain, Scott's kind of a mutter.
Yeah. Oh. His mutter was a mutter.
His father was a mutter.
First down carry goes to the right. Western makes the tackle. 7 seconds. Coldwater huddling up, but they might as well make their way to the locker room. That's the last play of the half. 7-7 tie as the rain continues to come down. And you can kind of see it blowing a little bit. It's definitely going to put a damper on the halftime festivities with the Western Marching Band and the Hall of Fame group that's here tonight at Western High School. Let's go ahead and take a 3-minute break on the half. We'll come back and look at our first half numbers. There's few, but there are some. We'll mention that. We'll take any out-of-town scores we can get, and we'll set things up for the second half. 7-7 tie at halftime on K105.3.
High school football on K105.3. It's the Halftime Report. Now, back to the press box.
Steve Boyle, Brian Haynes at the half. Western Band out enjoying the muddy field and marching as though it's not raining, but it is kind of pouring buckets here. And we mentioned earlier, Western has not completed a game at home yet this season. So they started out the season week one at home, lightning delay, and they finished that game on Saturday. We were here for that Northwest game. We had the transformer explode, and we had to drive over to Northwest High School. They had a week ago, similar scenario. Rain comes through, lightning. They do it, finish it up on Saturday. So here's hoping tonight's the first night they finish a game here at home. As long as lightning doesn't come through, they'll play it out in this heavy rain. Even though it might be ugly, they will finish it up. 7-7 tie right now. How do we get there, Brian?
Well, we had, for starters, we had Coldwater getting on the board first, and that was the one long sustained drive that we've seen in this game. You know, it was just a combination of Gipple and Torres.
And even then, it was kind of three or four medium-sized runs that kept moving them down the field pretty quickly. But they do dive in from about 2 yards out and get on the board first, kick the extra point. Western, a couple of possessions later, answers. One play,
yep.
94 yards.
Tyler Pape, who actually his headset is tuned in to us, heard you say he's a little off. So what's he do? He throws a 94-yard touchdown pass to Gillespie.
A Tri-County Water out-of-town scoreboard from that Jackson High-Tecumseh game. And we got a 30-6 score with 6 to go in the second quarter. So they're not going as quickly. As we mentioned, this game got – our first half was fast. It's 7:51. We usually make it past 8 o'clock in the first half, but not tonight as the rain continues to come down here. But it doesn't appear that any Western football fans have evacuated due to weather. We're just seeing a variety of multicolored umbrellas throughout the stands here. And we mentioned the cheerleaders virtually have all retreated under raincoats. There's one cheerleader holding strong in her T-shirt. And we're glad for that. We got some first half stats here for you. 6 carries for Torres for Coldwater for 36 yards, averaging 6 yards a carry. Damon Beckhues, and averaging 8 yards a carry, has toted it 4 times for 32 yards, but he has been, I think we saw him hobbled a little bit, maybe a sore ankle, and most of his yardage was gained on a 28-yard carry. Matt Gipple, who I think was going to be the feature back tonight and has been the focus, I think, of the Western defense, has carried it 10 times for just 27 yards, 2.7, about 8 yards shy of his season average of about 10.2. So kudos to the Western defense to rein in this Coldwater offense largely throughout the first half. And we'll see what they plan for the second half. As we are here at halftime for Collins Brothers Floor Covering at Western High School, we'll take a 3-minute break. We'll bring you the MHSAA's This Week in High School Sports segment. And then we'll come back to wrap up the halftime here on K105.3. 7-7 tie, Western and Coldwater on K105.3.
K105.3 presents high school football. That will conclude the halftime report. It's now time for the second half on Jackson's Hit Music, K105.3.
Steve Boyle, Brian Haynes at Western High School announcing the 2019 Hall of Fame class out in the field. And how many years of coaching experience did that one coach have, Brian? Was it 161 years?
Yeah, Coach Wilcox.
161 seasons. 161 combined
seasons,
between,
yeah.
He had something like 38 years of girls cross country, 41 years of boys cross country, and then some other stuff peppered in.
Yeah, 46 years of boys track.
Unbelievable.
And kudos to him, too. He didn't look like he was like a 80-year-old guy.
Yeah.
So
he started coaching when he was 12.
Yeah. The Doogie Howser of Western
Doogie
Panther lore.
Of area coaching. Thanks to Collins Brothers Floor Covering, our halftime sponsor. We're tied at 7 here at Western High School, and the teams are back on the field, huddled up, all loosened up and ready to go. The field conditions, as we mentioned, right down the middle of the field inside the hash marks is brown, essentially from end zone to end zone. So footing is going to be difficult to come by. Gripping the football is going to be difficult. Although right now it looks like the rain is as light as it's been since it started raining, but it is still coming down.
Yeah, we talked about this for Western with the more, definitely the more balanced of the two attacks, you know, mixing in the pass with the run. I do think the rain hurts them a little more than Coldwater.
Yeah, you would expect that it would at least limit them from what their game plan was anyway, more than it would Coldwater. You think they can still come out and basically run a lot, mostly the same game plan they had, just the effectiveness might be mitigated, whereas Western may not be able to go to the air as wide open as they would normally run this spread offense with a wet field and still some misting rain.
Yeah, instead of being a Pape game, this could be a Ruskowski game for the Panthers.
You're right, and you said that at the end of the half, and he ended up, I think, with about 29 yards rushing for the first half, but that was two different really long runs being called back, and Western had several penalties on their last possession that really limited what they hadn't gotten the end zone a couple of different times and had to have it called back. That's got to be a little bit disheartening on one hand, but on the other hand, letting you realize that, hey, maybe we can make some plays out here.
Yeah.
Although, without the holding, who knows how big those plays end up being.
And those touchdowns are big because Coldwater, who's going to want to do the long, sustained drives, you know, they can't afford to fall down by 14. They don't have the kind of offense where they're going to open up the aerial attack. So it's important for Coldwater to stay within, you know, a touchdown anyway, one score up Western.
Definitely feels like that way, that if somebody were able to, if Western, for instance, was able to get up by, like you said, a score and get a stop and get the football back, Coldwater starts getting a little bit in panic mode. The kickoff is a high end over end. It's going to bounce and be picked up at about the 22, and the return gets to the 30, and all the way up to about the 34. Before he is stopped, returning on the play, not Landon French, James Bloomfield.
You know, we're seeing an awful lot of these just kind of high kicks that travel about 30 yards. And boy, if you're going to do that, I'm almost wondering if you might as well just kick it out of bounds, because now you're not risking any return, unless they think they're going to maybe fumble it or something. But
shotgun for Pape, three receivers to his left. Takes the snap, gives to Raskowski on first down. He's not touched until he gets to the 35, but then it's a one-on-one tackle, and I got to tell you, the size differential goes to the Coldwater defender on the play, Dylan Taggart, 6'3", 250, and Raskowski not quite as big.
Yeah, and Raskowski against your normal high school guy looks pretty big, but Taggart, whew, that's a different kind of animal there.
And he carries 6'3", 250 in a comfortable way. He doesn't look like an uncomfortable, out-of-shape 250.
No, he's an athlete at that size.
For certain. So second down and about 8 for the Panthers, and they go Wildcat. Bloomfield carries, And he's going to get up to maybe the 40 if they give him forward progress. Gain of about 2, but that'll still make it 3rd and 6 for the Panthers.
You know, you mentioned the field definitely muddy in between the hash marks, but one thing that has been kind of clean today, minus the 2 penalties that brought back the touchdowns, not too many penalties tonight.
Yeah, and not a lot of like false start procedure penalties either. It's been holds when we have had it, and we had a pass interference, but none of those false start offsides kind of things so far. Pape on the slant to Gillespie, and that's the play that went for a touchdown last time. He does get a big gain in the first down, moves the ball to about the 49 into Coldwater territory, and really tripped up at the end of the play, or he had another shot to go to the house.
Yeah, that was the same play, and it was Spencer Rhodesiler again for Coldwater with nice coverage, but just a nice pass and a nice catch. And, man, Rhodesiler almost fell down on that one, too. We almost saw a replay of the 94-yard touchdown.
And looks like Gillespie off the field for this play. Pape in the shotgun. And the snap's high, and he dives on it. Pape taking no chances back there. High snap, so after the nice play on first down, or to get a first down, they're going to lose 7 yards on the play. Make it 8 yards. Back into Western territory on the 43. 9:45 to go, third quarter, we're tied at 7. Western football with a second down and very long, 18 yards. Gillespie back on the field. He's vying for player of the game honors up to this point. He'll see if he can make something happen again here on a second and long. Back to throw is Pape, and he's looking Gillespie's way, but he goes to the flat instead where Raskowski was open. He catches it, but hit and brought down immediately. No gain.
Yeah, Christian Brouse there quickly for Coldwater. Escort him out of bounds and keep it third and very long.
Spot's decent, give him about 2 yards, but still third and about 16 with 9:04 to go third quarter.
The last time in this situation, Western went ahead and ran the ball in a wildcat, and here you have Pape with one of the best arms in the area, so we'll see if they turn him loose.
He's got 4 wide again, 3 split left, back to throw. He's looking to his right, one-on-one coverage, deep. He's got a step, and just a little beyond the stride of Robbie Smith, the intended receiver on the play, incomplete, and Western will punt.
Yeah, that's one, you know, this is easy for me to say, but I kind of would like to see Smith kind of lay out a little bit for that and give it a try, but maybe that was a little further than his reach could have made it. But
kicker out on the 30, snaps a little sideways, blocked! It's loose on the field, and Western will dive on it. But Coldwater with a huge special teams play. They'll take over. 1st and 10 on the Western 34-yard line.
This is by far the best field position Coldwater's had. They keep getting, Western keep punting them back and keeping them deep in their own territory. But the 34 be right in Coldwater's wheelhouse, I would think.
Just the snap went a little to the side, and Rhodesiler had to, or excuse me, we have Clay Faldy had to move to his side to kind of grab it, and as he tried to get his feet right to punt it away, the defender was in his face, got the block, and Coldwater, big set, gives to Gipple, coming around the backside, but the Western defense right there, and they'll stop him for, he got maybe, I'm going to give him 4 inches on the carry. Second down, 9 yards, 2 feet, and 6, 7, 8 inches.
That was a big collision there with Toby Tyler from Western.
8:10 to go here in the third quarter, still tied at 7. It's been a stalemate, back and forth defensive battle for the most part of this game. Coldwater with great starting field possession after the block punt. Second down and 10. Gipple in motion. Janice going to keep it. And as you said, that delay kind of QB keep. He takes 2 steps back as though he might hand it off and then dives into the line. Western's starting to recognize it, I think, a little bit. And so they stop him for about 1.5 yards. Third down and 8-4. Coldwater.
Another kind of unusual thing that I've been watching are the Western linebackers who are really getting down, almost like a defensive end who's going to rush the quarterback, but they're just looking for, they're filling those run gaps. But they're getting there quickly. But as you said earlier, if they get by them, there's nobody left to defend. So,
and up to this point, for the most part, Western has been sure tackling while they're out there, and they got some fantastic players on the defense. Play action for Janis. Throws up the middle. Tip. Caught. And he's got some room to run. Turn it upfield. The big man gets down to the 15. Tipped up in the air. Presence of mind to stay with it. Pull it in. And it's Dylan Taggart, the 6'3", 250 monster, out on the field. And he makes the catch and the run after. First and 10 for Coldwater inside the Western 15.
And a big congratulations to Jackson Janis, who gets the double digits now.
10th
completion of the year. And that's not a knock on him so much as that's just a game plan.
Exactly. Yeah. They'll go right back to the run here on first down. Give to Gipple. He tries to find some room off tackle. He'll carry a couple guys and take it up to about the 14, maybe the 13. The Western Claw of Panthers that are attacking that defender continues to be sure-handed, sure-tackling. And you haven't seen them break a lot with that defensive line. And they've got some stud players there in their defense, too. Brock Myers is in there. And he's been the guy that you want to keep your eye on. Tackling. Second down, 9 yards here for Coldwater. This time they go to Torres around on the sweep, and he cuts right up through the hole. He's got the first down and then some. Not into the end zone, but he's going to get inside the 5 yard line, and Torres has been their most effective weapon again.
Yeah, Torres a little bit different kind of runner than Gipple. You know, Gipple, more of a power guy. Torres kind of showing some, as you said earlier, a little fancy footwork, a little speed, a little quickness.
And able to get good grip here on the wet field enough to cut and dive forward. First and goal. And scorekeeper's got him listed on the 3 yard line. And fumbled snap. I think Janis got to it. Western saying they got it. There's your signal. Western football. And the Panther defense comes up huge inside the 5 yard line.
It appeared to be Michael McEninch that was able to cover the ball for Western. But a huge stance on the 3 yard line.
First and 10 for the Panthers on their own 5 yard line. They've got a lot of field to work with, but the last time they had this much field, they ran a slant play and it went 94 yards. Mason Gillespie is the wide receiver to the right for Tyler Pape out of the shotgun, and he's going to keep it on first down. Finds a hole in the line, dives through, gets over the 5 to the 10. And brought down maybe to the 11-yard line. We'll look for the spot here from the official. And they are going to set that football down in between the 10 and 11-yard line. Second down at about 4.5 for the Panthers.
As the clock winds here in the third quarter, already down to the 5-minute mark, these first downs become even more important if you're Western. You don't want to punt it back and give Coldwater good field position again.
Second down. Pape takes the snap, fakes to Raskowski, keeps again, and he's going to get down to the 15 this time. And that will move the chains. First and 10 for the Panthers. Tyler Pape, we've been talking about his arm all night. He's doing it with his legs right now, getting them a little bit of breathing room. And every carry you get away from your own goal line, you start to feel like a few more plays are open to use for the offense.
Yeah, especially just after watching Coldwater kind of march it in on their defense. This is giving their defense a little breather and a little field position too.
First and 10, 15-yard line for the Panthers in their own territory with 4:24 to go third quarter, tied at 7. And Raskowski will switch sides And Pape will follow him through the line. Gets past the 20 to about the 21. So they've been able to get about 4 or 5 yards on those QB keep plays. And that was a kind of a mirror image of a play we saw earlier in the game where Raskowski kind of switches sides and sets up in that lead back position where he's going to kind of bulldoze the way for the quarterback into the line.
Yeah, the old football adage of, you know, if you find something that works, make them prove they can stop it. And right now, looks like Pape's legs are going to be doing the damage.
3:46 and the clock running here in the third. Pape out of the shotgun, second down and 5. And Pape struggles with the snap, does reel it in, going downfield. And Bloomfield, the intended receiver, well covered on the play. Gipple had a chance at the interception, but couldn't get down low enough. Incomplete third down for the Panthers.
That play seemed a little doomed from the beginning as a snap, and I don't know that it was a bad snap so much as it just was maybe a wet football, and Pape had a hard time corralling the snap.
And really, to me, that play right there is confirmation for me that the football has been tough to handle for Pape. So the fact that that's the first obvious bobble of the football is actually a tribute to him and his ability to work through. And, he's slow to be able to get a grip on it. He does throw it out. Gillespie on the sideline, and he doesn't get to it till about a step out of bounds. Incomplete fourth down, and the Western punt team will come out. And barring a very big punt here, Coldwater will once again have pretty good field position.
I know if you're a Western fan right now, you're thinking, boy, we were gaining some yards with the Pape runs, and all of a sudden, just for that little series, they went to the air 3 times.
Punter standing back on his own 10 as he boots it away, and it is going to bounce, take a little bit of a Western roll. And he'll stop a yard shy of the 50-yard line. Still in Panther territory. Coldwater, first and 10 from the 49. With 3:20 to go third quarter, and we'll make the change over here, get that Coldwater offense back out onto the field. And you have these games where not a lot of scoring happens. It just kind of goes back and forth. The clock runs quickly, and we stay here on the broadcast. We're looking for a breather, an opportunity to take a commercial break here for our fine sponsors.
Kind of like the Western defenseman, I'm a little winded.
They'll try and suck it up and test their conditioning now as the Coldwater big run game comes out. And it goes to Torres on first down, and he goes around and he dances a little bit behind the blocker. And when the time's right, he turns on the Jets. Not a huge gain, but he gets about 3 yards. And we've seen that Gipple has not been able to consistently get that 3 and 4 yard carry. The Western Panthers have really keyed on him, but Torres, for some reason, has been able to find the holes.
It's crazy. I don't know. How many plays do you think we've seen Coldwater run different plays? I mean, I feel like they've just run the same 3 or 4 plays every time, and it's up to Western to stop it.
Second down and 8. And this time it's a Janis keep. And he'll dive ahead, get past the 45 to about the 44. Make it the 43 with a pretty good spot. Third down and give him 3.5 with 2:28 to go. Coldwater looking to drive. Western very strong on third down in the first half. They'll try to make that true again here. Big play here. Feels that way anyway. If Coldwater can continue to drive, the next score might be the one that wins the game the way this one's been going. And this time the give to Torres, and he's going to get the wheels to where he needs to be. That should move the chains. Ooh, the spot might be a little short. They might need to measure this one.
From here, it looked like he had that first down by a yard or so, but that spot's putting him just shy.
They won't measure it. Fourth down clearly, but fourth and about maybe 6 inches.
We haven't heard much from this Western crowd, but we're starting to hear them getting into this.
They're fired up right now, student section. And Torres is going to get the first down and then some. As Gillespie comes over and makes the tackle, he needed 6 inches. He got about 10 yards, and it's first and 10 for Coldwater. Moving the chains again to the 31-yard line.
Yeah, a little recognition there to offensive lineman Wyatt Force, who was out there leading the way. And he was ready to keep blocking. He is getting downfield after his original block.
Janice brings Coldwater out of the huddle. And a little movement on the line. And that might go against Coldwater on the false start. But it could be just Western trying to jump the snap. But that will be a false start, and that's going to go against Coldwater. So Panthers get a little help here, and they'll have a first and 15. And this is a Coldwater team not really built for those kind of situations. They've needed three plays to get 10 yards almost every time here. So 15 is a big help for Western.
Yeah, unless they break a little 6 or 7 yard run, this is putting Coldwater in that danger zone that we talked about earlier.
Janice under center. And the give goes to Torres. That same run play that it feels like they just do every time, and he just sneaks behind a blocker, gets over the 30, and he gets most of that penalty back and then some. He's going to get him to the 29-yard line and bring up second and about 9. 6 yards on the play for Torres. 50 seconds to go here, third quarter. And Coldwater may get another play in here, but I wouldn't count on them getting two.
Yeah, and I think Coldwater's fine with that as well.
There's the snap, and it gives this time to a fullback, and he's going to carry up near the first down marker. Forward progress gets stopped, but that was a collision there, and neither side ready to give any ground on that. And on the carry for Coldwater on that one, a name we haven't called yet, Cole Barker, it looks like. Toting the football. And it wasn't as close to that first down marker as it looked like from up here, but it's still third down about 2 yards to get to the sticks. And time's going to run out on the quarter. Tied at 7 with 1 period left to go. Let's take a 1 minute break on the K105.3 Football Frenzy.
Now, back to high school football on Jackson's Hit Music, K105.3.
C. Boyle Brian Haynes at Western High School, 12 minutes to go here. We're tied at 7 apiece. Fourth quarter brought to you by East Jackson Community Schools. Together we thrive, and the Coldwater offense on the field on this third and short play. Big opportunity for the Panthers. The give goes to Gipple, and he might have dived. Second effort there might have got to the sticks. They looked like they had him first contact for no gain, but he dove at the end of the play. And to me, it looked like they got it, but they're saying fourth down and short again. Western's defense has held up in that short yardage on third down. Fourth down, however, not so lucky. Do you look to Torres on this? Do you do a keep with Janice?
Well, and then you have your horse Gipple, too, who has 5,000 yards this season, so the playbook is...
They go to Torres. He might have it. He rolls forward, and that looks like enough distance to move the chains. Torres has been the go-to guy. Is this long drive here for Coldwater? They haven't covered a lot of distance, but they've used a lot of clock. And if you're Coldwater and you can use a few more minutes and stick it into the end zone here, I think you feel pretty good about where you stand with a 14-7 lead. Right now, however, we're tied, and Western's defense needs a big play.
And I tell you, you asked about who was going to carry the ball, and I do not blame Coach Scorefire for giving it to Torres tonight. Tonight, he's been the star.
Gipple out there, Torres too, and this time they go to the fullback, and he's able to get about 5 right away, and then they hold him up, and ultimately they all go down to the ground, but another carry here for Cole Barker with Damon Beckhuis and limping off the field. I think that was late in the first half, has not returned. He's probably got a little ankle sprain, and you don't want to send him back out on a flat wheel there.
Yeah, I talked to our sideline guy, and he said his return is doubtful.
You arranged all these connections. We got a sideline guy now. I just appreciate you working the effort you're putting in. And I think Gipple left the line a little early on that play, but he takes the give, and he's going to dive ahead for another couple yards. Third down, though, and I'll call it 5.
It looked like Gipple there was planting that foot to try to turn up field, and just right there in between the hashes, you mentioned earlier, just mud. I don't think Giffel could get his footing there and just fell.
I say especially right where they are now.
Yeah.
It looks like a horse pasture a little bit. Third and probably six really here for Coldwater, and that's a nice number if you're Western. But they give to Torres, and he's been able to eat up 6 yards at a time with regularity. Not this time, though. The claw of Panthers wrestle him to the turf with 9:29 to go in the fourth quarter for East Jackson Community Schools. It's a fourth and five situation for Coldwater. Now, we mentioned that the kicker seemed to have enough leg from here, or at least you and I were talking about it. However, I did notice in pregame with warm-ups, Western kicking on that end of the field, going south into the wind, and that was holding up that football. So I you don't feel comfortable to kick here. I think they come out and they run their best play, and I think that's a give to Torres. It's play action for Janis. Loses the football. Now he's running for his life, but he does have some space. Here comes in for the tackle. What a play. Football, and it's loose on the field, and Western's got it. What a play by the Western defense in the open field. Here comes Wyatt Heavey to make the stop. Janis trying to make a play. Going down, tries to shovel it to one of his receivers. The ball gets down on the turf. Western there to dive on it. Panther football, first and 10. What a play. Heavey in the open field making a great tackle. Janis with a head of steam. Looked like he had the first down marker in sight.
Yeah, heads up play by Janis, who fumbled the ball and then tried to make something out of nothing. But as you said, Heavey with a great play. Game-changing play.
It stops the first down. Really, Janis doesn't have a lot to lose on that play. If he gets stopped short of the marker, it's a turnover anyway. And on first down, they give to Raskowski. His opportunities have been few and far between. They've chosen to go with Pape on the QB keep, mostly here in the second half, or attempting to go through the air. So on that play, gets 2 yards, second down and 8.
Yeah, late in the second quarter, you know, it was a lot of Raskowski and some successful, but boy, this is only Western's, like, maybe second or third drive. These drives by Coldwater are just eating up clock.
Pape takes, and again, the QB keep, as we mentioned, not a lot of running room. He's going to push it to about the 20-yard line, and they'll give him a couple, 3 yards, third down and about six.
Steve, you said this about maybe eight game minutes ago, that you just felt like whoever scored next, it might be it. And as that clock is under 8 minutes now, I tend to agree with you. I think whoever punches it in will be our winner tonight.
Tri-County Water out-of-town scoreboard, a slew of them coming in. Lumen 27-0, the final over Harper Creek. Grass Lake 16-14, lead at Addison, with Addison. That's a big game in Cascades. Reverse play here for the Panthers, and a throw. Gillespie was there. Flag comes out at the end of the play, and that may be a pass interference. What a trick play there. The reverse wide receiver pass. Good job by the Coldwater defense to stay on their receiver with coverage.
Yeah, everybody stayed home, and it appeared that Aiden Marsden had good coverage by Coldwater, but they're going to get him with pass interference and big third down penalty against Coldwater, or Western be looking to punt.
Trick play, not quite effective. As I mentioned, though, big game in the Cascades Conference. Grass Lake leads Addison 16-14 at the half.
Wow.
EJ, 18-0 lead over Vandercook Lake. Trojans on their way to maybe their first victory of the year.
Ooh, we almost saw that.
We almost did. Pape in the shotgun. Raskowski's back there with him, and play action to him. Going downfield to Gillespie again. Another underthrown ball. This time it's intercepted. And Coldwater's got it back. Defensive play. Excitement here. 7:13 to go, fourth quarter, and we do another turnover. This time Coldwater taking it back. Aiden Marsden on the interception.
Yeah, Aiden. Aiden was... It was funny because Gillespie kind of became the defender there as another underthrown ball by Pape. And again, you just got to believe the slipperiness, the dampness, It's just Pape's not getting a good grip.
Seemed like he got a little too much air under it. And good job by the defense. Coldwater with the football at their own 44-yard line. 7:13 to go, tied at 7. Fourth quarter brought to you by East Jackson Community Schools. As we mentioned, leading right now of Vandercook Lake. Chance for East Jackson to walk away with their first win. And Janice with the QB keep. And this time you kind of got the sense that Western knew it was coming. They'll stop him for maybe a half yard. Mark the football just beyond the 45-yard line, second down at about 9. Clock running under 7 minutes now.
It's funny when you say Janice with the QB keep. My wonderful mother's name is Janice, so I look out to see if my mom's out there perhaps with the QB sneak. And
your mother is lovely, by the way.
And listening.
And not a bad running back in her time.
Back in her time.
She's out of eligibility, though, I think. Under center, Janice. And he's going to roll out. Looking for a bootleg. Not a ton of room. Tries to get Juki. And instead gets tackled into a pile of mud on the ground at the feet of the Western Panther bench. And the defender gets up. And if you can't quite read the number, I don't blame you because it's covered in mud. But it's Wyatt Heavey making another nice tackle for the Panthers.
Yeah, that was Janice trying to get Juki with it. It just wasn't working that time.
6:23 to go, game clock here. 7-7 tie, third down and about 8 for Coldwater.
Steve, you think this is two down territory?
I do. Jackson Janice. Under center. This time a fumbled snap, but picked up. The exchange was fumbled. Heady play by Cole Barker, the sophomore, to pick it up, and he actually turns it into a pretty solid gain, making it fourth down in about 2.5.
Yeah, what you call heady, I might just call fortunate, because that ball hit the ground and just took a bounce straight back up into his hands.
So we get a timeout. No, we're just getting a little personnel changeover. And Coldwater, I was incorrect, unless it's a fake here. They decide to punt. They want to keep that field position advantage that they've had most of this second half. 5:40 to go. Clock running. 7-7 tie. And they'll get it out. The kick is away. Another good one from the Coldwater special teams. Fielded and caught and stuck immediately. But what a great job to hold on to that moist football. Julius Adams has been, he's been nice back there a couple times tonight with the fair catch for Western. Taking that lick so that they can get the football at the 19 instead of, say, the 9.
Yeah, I tell you, with the Coldwater D bearing in on him, I'm not sure Julius made the right move by not calling a fair catch there. But he hung on to the ball, so all is forgotten. Now it's up to this, you know, year-long potent offense by Western, and let's see if they can become the Western offense that all these fans have been used to seeing all year.
Rain is light but steady. 5:29 to go, fourth quarter. A receiver in motion, jet sweep, goes to Bloomfield. He finds a little space, gets around the end, over to the 25, brought down to 26. A nice gain on first down for Western. That's a play that I don't think we've seen much at all tonight, honestly. The kind of jet sweep with the wing. Gets about 7 on first down, 2nd and 3 in the Panthers.
Yeah, Western kind of taking that out of the Coldwater playbook.
Yeah, that was Torres has been running that all night. Yeah. Clock ticks right to 5, making 4:58 now as the Panthers get to the line. Pape out of that familiar shotgun, Raskowski back there with him. 3 wide receivers. Bloomfield in motion. He takes it again, going the opposite way. This time turns up. Fields got the first down. Directing through traffic. Gets it to the 35 and a first down for Western. And the fans are starting to feel a little momentum. Get a little noise from this home crowd.
You know, I feel like Western kind of has one of those tempo offenses when they get in a rhythm. And I like the fact that they're breaking the huddle early and trying to kind of get, you know, speed up the tempo a little bit.
Papes sends Bloomfield in motion again, gives it to him again. Bloomfield this time will spin off a defender. He's going to get about two and then get brought down with 4:21 to go. The clock continues to run with a 7-7 tie.
That's definitely not a no huddle, but I'd like to see Western really get up to that line and see if they can't get Coldwater kind of back on their heels a little bit.
Under 4 minutes now. Western from their own 38. And Pape's going to keep. And Dodge the defender. Gets over the 40 down to about the 43. And that's going to make it third down and three for Western. 3:40 on the clock.
All game long, both teams were seeing a lot of third and threes, third and fours, and every third down play just seems so big right now.
Four wideouts for Pape. Different look this time, and he's going to keep again. Follows Raskowski, dives through. That looks like it's enough for the first down. And the Western offensive line hands in the air. Cal Sharp saying they had enough distance. The officials agree with him. Into the 47-yard line. With 3:12 to go in the running clock. Tied at 7. Fourth quarter brought to you by East Jackson Community Schools. Together we thrive. Panthers come back to the line. Three wide for Pape. Bloomfield in motion. Don't give to him. They give to Raskowski, and he's got a little space. Falls over a defender. Drags one for another extra yard into Coldwater territory to the 46-yard line. Great play call by Coach Mifsud in the Western sideline. They were running that Bloomfield play. They must have done it four times before they finally successfully used it as a decoy to give to Raskowski, and he turns it into a 7-yard gain, second and three.
Nice block by tight end Levi Faldi there, too.
Bloomfield in motion again. They don't give to him. Same play to Raskowski. And he's battling through defenders. Finds a little air at the end of the play. Drags it forward. And they'll move the chains again. 2:13 to go. First down, Western. And, Brian, we were talking about Coldwater being the long, sustained running drive team. On this drive, this possession, it has been the Panthers.
Yep, and it's been all on the ground as well.
All they're looking for is ground yardage right now, and they've been able to. They've got a good play-calling rhythm right now with Bloomfield, Raskowski, and Pape in the mix. Coldwater doesn't know who's going to carry it. Bloomfield goes in motion again. They give it to him on the jet sweep. He turns it upfield. He's got it. Ducks the defender. Oh, he had some daylight at the end of the run. Sidestep the defender. Makes it a 10-yard play at the end. And we get some extracurricular stuff at the end of the play. And a flag comes out. And that could be a momentum killer with 1:44 to go. And the Coldwater player clapping as though he knew that it was going to be a personal foul. And that it might go against the Panthers.
Yeah, it looked like receiver Robbie Smith from Western. Long ways down the field, way away from the action.
Really trying to finish off that block.
Yep.
As it stands, it'd be about 9 yards on the carry. Personal foul against Western. So what looked like they had lined up, you know, momentum where they were going to maybe even get into field goal range. Instead, push it back to the 49-yard line.
Yeah, that might be one where tomorrow morning when you're Robbie Smith, you might want to have a fever or a stomach ache or not make it to the film room.
Second down and 16 now. Bloomfield in motion. They give it to him. Gets to the end, turns it upfield, dives through, spins. He gets back to that original first down marker. So it'll make it third down and about 10, and we get a timeout from the Western sideline. We'll take a timeout from the broadcast. 1 minute break, back to the final minute 25, tied at 7.
We now return to high school football on K105.3.
minute 25 to go, fourth quarter. Bloomfield in motion. Snap is high. Hape has to reel it in. He can only dive forward back to that original line of scrimmage. Fourth down at about 11. Actually loses a little bit of yardage. And decision time for the Panthers with 70 seconds left in this regular set. We might have some overtime.
I'm a little surprised Coldwater's not taking a timeout here. Because fourth down, if Western decides to go for this and they don't make it, Coldwater has it near midfield.
Clock continues to run, 49 seconds. Quick Tri-County out-of-town scoreboard update. 20-16, Addison leads Grass Lake after three.
Ooh, barn burner.
Barn burner over there. Coach Randy Cole and his crew. Now we get a timeout from Western with 37.3 on the clock, and they'll talk it over. And we'll take another one-minute break on the K105.3 Football Frenzy.
Back to the game of the week. It's high school football on K105.3.
Fourth down for Western. It's a punt situation. Gets the punt away, and no one back to receive it, so it's going to bounce, and it's going to die and roll to the five-yard line. So with 26.2 to go in this one, Coldwater's got 95 yards to go if they hope to, I guess, whatever field goal range is for their guy, but I'm going to guess that this doesn't end on a field goal.
Yeah, today's weather, I think, especially going that direction, left to right on your radio dial.
That's
I've always wanted to
north
say that.
To south. I'm glad you did. Get it out of your system.
Yep, thank you.
26.2. Fourth quarter for East Jackson Community Schools. Trojans leading at last check-in, looking for their first win of the season against Vandercook Lake. And as we mentioned, Addison taking a 20-16 lead over Grass Lake after three quarters on our Tri-County Water out-of-town scoreboard. Coldwater takes a knee. We're going to overtime. They're going to let that clock run right down. 7-7 tie at the end of regulation. And we got some high school overtime football here in the K105.3 Football Frenzy. 1 minute break, and we're back with the overtime.
Jackson's only live coverage of high school football, right here on K105.3.
Boy, Brian Haynes, after 48 minutes of football, we are tied at 7. And we'll do some high school overtime, according to our press announcer. You get 4 tries from the 10 to score a touchdown or kick a field goal.
Yep, we're going to get something happen here because it has been since the 11:35 mark of the second quarter, so early in the second quarter since we've seen the ball cross the goal line.
There's been a lot of exciting plays in between, and mostly on the defensive side of the football. Wyatt Heavey with some big tackles and a fumble recovery, an interception by Coldwater and Aiden Marsden. Two of the big plays I can think of from here in the second half to keep us at the 7-7 tie. Coin toss happening now. Midfield, Landon Raskowski, Tyler Pape, Wyatt Heavey, and Mason Gillespie on the field for the Panthers, the captains. And who's... I'd hate to be a captain for Western and stare across the 6'3", 250-pound Dylan Taggart.
It looks like Taggart called heads. We'll see if he's correct.
The official's even saying, excuse me, sir. Could Western looking to see what side Coach Mifsud wants. And they'll defend. He makes the right call. They'll defend the south end zone and force Coldwater to drive it into that wind. Which if you try to look at the American flag over here to our left, but it's kind of pinned to the pole because the wind has not let up enough to let it, you know, billow at all. And so the Coldwater offense, I think, gets the first try at it here in our overtime.
The way this game's going, I'm going to have to give a slight edge to Coldwater. If you're getting the ball at the 10, they've kind of shown that they can churn out 10 yards a little easier than what Western has been doing it.
Agreed. I think you come out, you give a steady diet of Cameron Torres on that sweep play, or maybe even Cole Barker as the backup fullback has been able to have a few big plays. Although you might be a little cautious if you're the Coldwater sideline after a little struggle on the QB running back exchange earlier in the fourth quarter.
And who would have thought we wouldn't be just saying, just hand the ball to Gipple three times, who's come in with a 10-yard carry average.
And we mistook Western on the offense here. And they'll go to the south side. The give is to Bloomfield coming around the end. And you could see that the field condition caused him. He didn't so much cut as kind of shuffle step to his side. So he's going to get a couple yards on the carry to about the 8-yard line, but not able to make a real quick cut and slam into the line. He had to kind of gingerly sidestep his way over there. Well, you get a couple yards on first down. Western with the football going for the end zone here. Inside the 10-yard line at the 8, overtime, tied at 7. Pape takes it. He's going to keep, and he gets into the line. He'll get down inside the 5. And that'll make it third and goal here from the 5-yard line for the Panthers. That looked like Pape, again, struggling a little bit to hold on to that shotgun snap.
Yeah, and big Clark Cole, 75 from Coldwater's helmet popped off, so he has to come out for a play. And he's been manning the middle there, so.
Clark Cole, 6'2", 276, senior defensive lineman.
We'll see if Western attacks the middle where Clark just came out.
They spread it out. Bloomfield to the right for Pape. Two receivers split left. Bloomfield goes in motion. They fake to him. Pape keeps. Gets past the defender. Looks like he's got the end zone there. Western signaling touchdown. The Coldwater defense thinks they stopped him. No signal, and I'm going to think they spot that at about the 1-yard line. So it wasn't even as close as the Panthers made it out. Fourth down and 1. And do you go with the field goal and ensure some points, or do you? I think they're going to go for it.
Yeah, I think at this point from the 1, you have to go for it. The question will it be Pape on the keeper, or do you give this to Raskowski?
I do the Tom Brady kind of QB sneak. You get under center, and you just dive. He hands it off, though, and they get it into the end zone. Raskowski with the touchdown for Western. Now the PAT, very important.
Yeah.
Every point counts here in overtime. So since the 11:53 mark of the second quarter, our first points on the scoreboard. We needed overtime to get there. 13-7, Western in the lead.
And Faldi, a very good kicker for Western, and that's what they're going to go with. Unless there's some tomfoolery.
Tomfoolery, is he a freshman?
He's the holder.
They line up, Pape on the hold. Holds down, kick is good, it's low, and it bounces off the crossbar. No good. 30-second break, and we'll come back with Coldwater's attempt to tie or get the win on K105.3.
You're tuned in to high school football on Jackson's Hit Music, K105.3.
Coldwater onto the field, first and 10 from their 10. They get their try, from the Western 10, I guess, going to the south end zone. Janice under center, gives to Torres around the end. String out the play, he stays on his feet, and Torres is going to get all the way to the end zone on the first play. Coldwater scores. And Cameron Torres, getting the job done again. He's been the star for Coldwater all night long. And they go to him in overtime, and it's tied at 13. A PAT from Coldwater here can ice the victory for the Cardinals.
If I'm Western, I might call a little timeout here, ice them.
Coldwater takes the timeout. Let's take a 1-minute break, and we'll come back with a PAT try on K105.3.
Now, back to high school football on Jackson's Hit Music, K105.3.
Coldwater in the kick formation. Snap is good. Hold is good. Kick is up. It's high. It's good. Coldwater with the extra point wins this one in overtime.
Give it to Serino, who is now 25 of 27 for point after kicks.
And we noted that in our discussion before the game, that that's a reliable kicker, and his leg gets it done. That's the difference in the game. Faldi versus Angel Serino. Angel Serino makes the kick, and Coldwater wins this one. Well, it was two teams that looked like they were evenly matched. We were talking about it and trying to find an edge for either team and couldn't. And apparently we were dead on, because this game was just a back-and-forth slobber knocker that in the end ends in overtime 14-13. Coldwater stealing it with an extra point. And they'll go home. That's going to be it's a bus ride that could have been quite miserable after being out in the rain for hours and riding home an hour or so to Coldwater. Now you'll be warmed by the win. And it's unfortunate, because Western played their hearts out tonight. Just a few mistakes kept them from the win. 14-13 is our final. Let's take a four-minute break here on the postgame, and we'll come back. We'll get our player of the game. We'll look at some stats. We'll set things up for next week. Again, your final in overtime, Western High School, the Coldwater Cardinals 14 and the hometown Western Panthers 13 on K105.3.
We now return to high school football on K105.3.
Steve Boyle, Brian Haynes on the post game here after an exciting tilt. Didn't quite end the way the Western home fans wanted it to. 14-13, the final in overtime. It's an extra point for Coldwater that made all the difference. And you could almost feel it when that extra point missed for Western, that might be all she wrote, because we knew that their kicker, Serino, was pretty reliable.
And, you know, unfortunately, Faldi will be thinking about that. And you know, that we talked about that part of the field is very muddy. You don't know from up here. We can't see how the hold was or the snap. Mm-hmm. But you know what? I feel like more importantly were a couple of the big penalties. I mean, right. Western missed out on two touchdowns getting called back. They were marching with, what, 2-3 minutes to go, and there was the big unsportsmanlike penalty. So, you know, penalty, I mean, he's going to think, boy, I missed that extra point, but it was the penalties that I think cost him.
Oh, I think you're absolutely right. That's very astute. The play that will stick out is the missed kick, but really what, when we think of this game and we look back on it, we'll look at two touchdowns and one possession that were called back that took points right off the board, essentially. Now, would they have ever scored the touchdown without the hold? You don't know, but it's definitely a big play. And like you said, even if it's not the touchdown that gets ruined by the penalties, it's the drive. So maybe that one play touchdown, but the drive could have gone longer. You could have seen Western with a little better field position at times in the second half, which they were spent a lot of that half in their own end of the field. In the second half, Coldwater just sustained and never gave any ground, and Western did just enough to get into the overtime. They scored. Took them four tries to do it, so they made the play they needed to, missed the kick. Coldwater made it, and our final is 14-13 here on the postgame. Oh, stars on the field tonight for Coldwater. We were watching for Gipple. We were watching for Beck Husen, but it was Cameron Torres, freshman running back, who really carried the Coldwater offense throughout most of this game.
Yeah, the freshman. I mean, here you have a bunch of big guys out there on the field by both Western and Coldwater, and here it's the little 5'8 freshman that led the way.
And we had some season numbers. I mean, even a week ago against Marshall, Cameron Torres had 8 carries, 23 yards.
Pretty pedestrian.
Tonight, he might have had I don't have this. The numbers are out here. Torres, 13 carries, 82 yards, averaged 6.3 a carry, and that really was the difference maker that kept Coldwater out ahead. And there's not really another guy on Coldwater that I would say, offensively anyway, was a star. I think the interception by Aiden Marsden at one point in the game was huge to get a turnover back after Western had gotten a lot of momentum, creating their own turnover on defense. So there's your Coldwater leaders. For the Panthers, Pape's passing numbers are going to look rough for him. He has a little help with that 94-yard connection with Gillespie, but otherwise I think he's probably 3 for 12 or so, including an interception. But he did a lot with his legs on the field. He really did. And at times he was their best running option in this game. Also, Bloomfield was reliable for him. James Bloomfield got a lot done. And then Mason Gillespie to make that reception. He had two pretty big receptions at times for Western, so he was a star. We'll choose a player of the game when we come back. Let's take another three-minute break here in the postgame. We'll choose our player of the game, and we'll set things up for our next broadcast. Again, from Western High School, the final, Coldwater 14, Panthers 13 at K105.3.
Back to the game of the week. It's high school football on K105.3.
T-Boyle, Brian Haynes, our final at Western, 14-13. Coldwater coming in and stealing one. Coldwater now 6-1 on the season. That'll get them into the playoffs. 5-1 in the Interstate 8 Conference. They'll be in action next week against Harper Creek, home game against BC Harper Creek. Coldwater will be favorites in that one. Western, meanwhile, now 5-2 on the year, 4-2. In the Interstate 8 Conference. They are in action next week, a winnable game. Our player of the game, I think because I have a strong history of not giving the award to a visiting team from outside of Jackson, we're going to go with Mason Gillespie for the 94-yard touchdown. A couple other receptions. He had over 100 yards tonight receiving and was also tough on the defense. Mason Gillespie, our player of the game tonight. Honorable mention, though, to Coldwater's Cameron Torres, freshman running back, who really was the leader for that team, the two offensive stars for the game tonight. But we'll give a notch higher to Mason Gillespie for being from Jackson County. And
I was going to say, sorry, Cameron, had you lived 35 miles more
further east, northeast,
you would be our player of the game. But due to geography, Mason Gillespie.
That's his main holdback. Player of the game tonight, Mason Gillespie. And like you said, he seemed to be the favorite target tonight for Pape, but Pape just seemed off a little bit in his accuracy, and I think we determined, or at least we feel comfortable to say, that he just didn't feel like he was gripping the football the way that he normally would be able to as the rain continues to fall here on Deering Road. Let's take one more break. We'll come back and wrap up the broadcast and tell you where we'll be next week for the Football Frenzy and your chance to get signed up for $1,053 at our pregame tailgate, falling to cash.
It's Jackson's only live coverage of high school football, right here on K105.3.
Boyle, Brian Haynes, final from Western, 14-13. Coldwater sneaks away with an overtime victory tonight. We are in action next on Friday, and we got a rugged Cascades tilt. We'll see if the Vandercook Lake Jayhawks can get their first win. We think, last check-in, East Jackson was in the lead and looked like they were on their way to getting their first win. Now Vandercook Lake will have a matchup against Hanover Horton, the Comets. Up and down struggle this season, but it's nice to go out to their field. I do like their I like their neighborhood. I like that place out there. It's just that good small town high school football vibe out of Hanover Horton.
Yeah, hey, it's late in the season. Two teams looking for playing for some pride.
And I guess the press box, I doubt the press box will be as packed as it was tonight here at Western, but I think we'll be in for some fun game with Hanover Horton and Vandercook Lake. Also, tonight we had a Tri-County Water out-of-town scoreboard update, 49-0 Marshall over Northwest. Ooh. In a final there. Jackson did get the win. They pull it out in a close one. And our final was I'm just kidding. 51-6 was the final, not that close. And we got Hastings 36-28 win over BC Penfield. And, of course, 27-0 Lumen Christi beat Battle Creek Harper Creek. For Tri-County Water, that's our out-of-town scoreboard. Congratulations to Mason Gillespie, our Western Panther player of the game. And we'll talk to you next Friday. For Mike Reed back in the studio, Brian Haynes, I'm Steve Boyle. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for tuning in to tonight's edition of Football Frenzy right here on Jackson's Hit Music Station, K105.3. This evening's game has been brought to you in part by Brooklyn Plumbing, Heating, and AC, Collins Brothers Floor Covering, County National Bank, Columbia School District, Clothing Carousel, Summit Orthodontics, Jackson YMCA, Jackson Public Schools, Northwest Community Schools, Excel Staffing, Able Heating and Cooling, The Hunt Club, Stone's One Stop Auto Shop, Hills Heart of the Lakes Golf Course, Your Premier Properties, Meckley's Flavor Fruit Farms, Brembo, Andy's Pizza, The Restore, Double Chiropractic, Trips Auto Shop, Trips Ceramic Pro, East Jackson Community Schools, Minuteman Sewer and Drain, Kevin Lamaro, Charles Schwab, Penn Chiropractic, Tri-County Water, and Modern Waste. We now return to regular scheduled programming on Jackson's Hit Music, K105.3.